Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, what a great Freedom Friday it is, not only because I've got a beautiful view of the mountains right outside our studio windows. The sun is already shining, which is nice. But then, of course, well, what do we do? Spring forward. We'll spring forward at some point, and then it'll be dark again for a little while. That's how it always goes. But I'm going to be thankful for the sunshine right now and the beautiful view of the snow-capped mountains that I'm looking at outside our Montana Talk studios this morning. But it's a very special Freedom Friday because our good friend George Blackard, you know, he moved down to Texas. He's now back in Montana for a little while. George, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, Aaron. Thanks for having me on. A great surprise that when I told you I was in town, you said, well, come on the air. So I've only been here a couple days. So.
Yeah, well, we wanted to get you as soon as you got back because I know you would fill in for me, always do a great job on the show from time to time, and then we'd chat with you on the radio and do a little Freedom Friday deal from time to time. And so just this week, I think I had two or three messages. Hey, where's George? What happened to George? They missed us when we did the final segment with you before you moved, and so people are still asking, so they're glad to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back. And, you know, I sit down there and I listen to the news and I'm like, oh, I should call Aaron and talk about that.
You know?
And there's been so much going on since November. It's just crazy. And, you know, I think we're seeing some interesting things. We're seeing some of those Democrat politicians that are kind of like saying, well, you know, I'm going to work with them. I'll work with them. And who couldn't say that what they're doing is a good thing? You know, you kind of mentioned it a while ago. They're lining their pockets. So they're the ones that don't want to see this U.S. aid and things like that go away because they're benefiting from it. But, I mean, really, if you stop and think about it, no matter what party you're in, if you sit there and think for a second, now, why would a member of Congress not want to cut back on spending, not want to set things straight and reorganize? I mean, why wouldn't they? Well, because they're benefiting from it the way it is in one form or another.
Now, you have said that before on the radio. These politicians are lining their own, but we've all said it, right? But this shows, this is even worse than anybody even imagined, how much they're not only lining their own pockets with this waste, fraud, and abuse that the Department of Government Efficiency is now spending, but they're lining the pockets of their left-wing activists. They're lining the pockets. Hell, Vindman. Remember Alexander Vindman, who was part of the coup attempt against President Donald J. Trump?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy, Colonel Cupcake is how I call Vindman, he was getting millions of dollars through our taxpayer dollars through whatever sham group he decided to start up. Stacey Abrams, $2 billion with a B. We could have paid for 100 different St. Mary's Irrigation Project upgrades like what we need on the High Line of Montana with just the $2 billion that Stacey Abrams got alone.
Exactly. And we all know her track record, so, you know, hey.
Yeah, apparently, if you question the 2020 election shenanigans, you're an election denier. But if you're Stacey Abrams and you deny the Georgia election results, here you go, $2 billion for you. Happy Freedom Friday. George Blackard in the house. I think he's going to join us for the next 2 hours. We'll take your phone calls and more. 406-294-0970.
Securing America.
A House Armed Services Committee hearing Wednesday examined the defense industrial base and its ability to meet the demands of the military. Hearing Chairman, Republican Congressman Mike Rogers of Alabama, says we cannot prevail in conflict without a strong industrial base. But, he says, there is a big problem.
Over the last 30 years, we have watched the industrial base atrophy.
Washington Democrat Adam Smith says we also have to approach the subject with a more realistic viewpoint.
How do we manage the challenges that we face instead of imagining that we're somehow going to be dominant in the world and be able to deter everybody?
However, former Deputy Secretary of Defense and President of the National Defense Industrial Association, David Norquist, testified there is good news.
Our nation has a defense sector that is innovative and dynamic. What is required is to shape the conditions that will allow it to perform in the way we want.
Kip Mieretzky, Fox News.
When do you need to hire a professional to handle your tax return? I'm Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show, with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
From around the world to Washington to your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Many Americans are able to handle their income tax return on their own or with a free or low-cost home software. But CPA Bill Dendy says in some situations it may call for professional help.
It doesn't take a whole lot to get pretty complex. And that's when calling that CPA, it's worth their hourly fee to get a straight answer and to have somebody that understands your situation.
Experts always advise to consider whether you have the time and patience when choosing the DIY route. Watch The Big Money Show weekdays at 12 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business. Taylor Riggs, Fox News.
Hey.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so great to have George Blackard back in the house here. I know our listeners have missed you, and just personally, it's good to see. I was catching up with our friend Becky Hillier, and we were talking about the Big Sky Honor flight.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, you know, shortly after you and I first got to know each other, and because you were doing a bunch of American Legion stuff, and so had you on the radio promoting some of your American Legion events, and then the Big Sky Honor flight, you know, and you know, entire airplanes filled with World War II veterans from Montana, and you were a big part of making that all happen, and so was Becky, and I got to tag along on one of those flights, and it was just one of the most memorable moments of my entire life, and so it's fun to see you back here. So you've been down in Texas for the past few months now. I was actually just thinking earlier this morning, I was like, George Blackard, like, you weren't in Montana for the election results, but we finally got rid of John Tester.
Trust me, I was watching that.
Yeah, you were watching. Oh, yeah, yeah. Were you like Chris Farley doing cartwheels?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I think the best part of that is right after he didn't get reelected and somebody in the media asked him a question, and he goes, hell, don't ask me, I'm out of here.
Yeah. You know? He actually dropped the F-bomb, like, basically, don't effing ask me, I'm leaving.
Exactly. Yeah. I cleaned it up a little bit, but yeah.
He was like, well, they didn't reelect me, so screw them. He stopped going to the Montana Coffee. He stopped doing everything. He didn't deliver. The Crow Tribe stuck their neck out for that guy last election cycle. But could he stick his neck out and get the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line before he left? No, he just stopped doing his job because he's like, well, they didn't reelect me, so screw them, basically, is what he said.
Well, you know, and he wasn't really working for us anyway, but he didn't work till his last day in office, right? He quit early. So that tells you something about him.
Well, it tells us, and, you know, we're not here to, you know, go over the election again. But, you know, I remember when you told the story about how he basically politically targeted you before you ever spoke out politically. You weren't speaking out on Republican, Democrat stuff. You simply were questioning what was going on in the VA about veterans health care. And John Tester started politically targeting you, weaponizing the VA against you as a result of this.
So that's true. Yeah, I went to my private health care doctor and the VA and, you know, spread around this letter that I'd written to him, basically asking questions and expressing my displeasure about something. I don't even remember what it was. I do have it saved somewhere. One day I'll go back and look at that. It's one of the things that I don't want people to be afraid to speak out. But when you speak out, sometimes there's a price to pay. And trust me, a lot of times it's how you do it. But, you know, that's what America is about. And you can't be afraid not to stand up for what's right just because it might make somebody angry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You were down in Texas for all this. So being down in Texas for the past few months, you know, aside from the election results, you're watching the Montana news from afar. You're listening to, sounds like you've been listening in on the show. You
definitely have, yeah.
Call in anytime, because I love it. We get a lot of snowbirds that listen to this show. Like, we got snowbirds right now that are down in Arizona, that are down in Texas, that are in other places, and they'll listen to the show either on like the KJJR app in the Flathead or on the Montana Talks app, and they'll listen, you know, in all these other locations. So it's fun. It's fun when we get messages or phone calls. So yeah, call in anytime. But what stood out to you as you watched the Montana news from afar?
Well, I noticed that it's not unlike Montana. So a lot of the things that they're concerned about there, fentanyl, illegal immigrants, things like that, same things that Montanans worry about. Of course, we're border states, right? Just on the opposite top and bottom of the country. So a lot of the same issues. And I think down there, the one thing I see that's a little different is there's a lot more Hispanics in the state Congress down there, in politics,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
A lot more Hispanics in there. So you see a very loud group of people speaking out against stopping the illegal immigration and things like that, because it's a big state. They have a lot of representatives,
but I think the majority of the Hispanics in Texas are actually now voting Republican. But you're right, there is a large demographic nonetheless that still is all about the illegal immigration.
Right. And, yeah. I think a lot of those probably won't be around after the next election. You know, they've been there a while, because you're right. Even a lot of the Hispanics there are leaning more on the conservative side. And it's really interesting to see how all that shakes out. I've yet, and I'm sure I'm just not hanging around with the wrong people, I've yet to have anybody really come out as super liberal and all that. Kind of the area I live in, it's pretty conservative. And, you know, you might see a Trump flag or a Trump sign in somebody's yard. And I think in that neighborhood, if you see one, there's nine others that would put it out there but just don't want to go get into that.
So they just don't want their front yard to look all political or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I've always liked Texas because I think of Texas as the other end of the cattle drive. Montana and Texas were just the other end of the cattle drive because, you know, historically, that's how it was. I mean, you know, the long cattle drives from Texas all the way up to Montana. That's why a lot of these roads in eastern Montana, some of the ranches have a Texas name to them because of that connection, and a lot of other similarities as well. So, we got some callers on the phone lines. We'll get to John in Bozeman. Plus, we got Lee in Kalispell and some phone lines for you as well as George Blacker joins us here in studio on this Freedom Friday, 406-294-0970. If you want to call in, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. I want to talk about DOGE and the VA in particular and the waste, fraud, abuse they're identifying there on this Freedom Friday.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women aged 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
NASCAR Cup Series drivers kick off the 2025 season this Sunday in the 67th running of the Daytona 500. The front row for the race was set Wednesday night in qualifying, and Chase Briscoe was off to a good start with his new Joe Gibbs Racing team, placing the number 19 Toyota on the pole. 2022 Daytona 500 champion Austin Cindric starts alongside him. The rest of the field was determined in the dual races Thursday night. 9 open teams competed for 4 spots available in the Daytona 500. Former NASCAR Cup Series champions Martin Truex Jr. and Jimmy Johnson were the two fastest open teams, while the other two spots went to the highest finishing open charter teams in the dual races. Four-time Indy 500 champion Julio Castroneves is using a new rule to enter the Daytona 500. That rule allows NASCAR to add a car to the field driven by a part-time Cup Series competitor. The green flag waves at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
So apparently Joe Rogan talked about a mysterious Montana landmark on his Joe Rogan podcast. Where is it? What is it? The answer, MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Oh, hey, George, before we get to these callers here, this just breaking news. This just came out on Truth Social. This is from Fox News on Truth Social. President Trump to make English the official language of the U.S. in new executive order. How many people are going to be triggered by that one?
I thought it already was, to tell you the truth.
Good point. Yeah, I think most people would assume it already was.
I think that one there is just to get people's attention and rile them up a little bit more. So.
And remind them.
Yeah.
You know, friendly little reminder. Well, it's all part of that, the messaging campaign of like, hey, if you're in this country illegally, if you're just coming here because you think this is the land of the free stuff, no more. Get out of here and come through the legal way. Isn't it funny how much that Elon Musk is despised and hated by the left right now? I mean, the women on The View, they're lying about him, claiming that he was pro-apartheid. They're calling him an illegal. There were others that were calling him an illegal immigrant. No, he came here the legal way. Of course they despise a legal immigrant, but they love the illegal immigrants.
Right. Well, you know, I saw one the other day where they were talking about Elon Musk. Well, from some senator that you've never heard of until now, she says, well, he's a citizen of three different countries, and look at all the damage he's doing to our country now. Where do you think his allegiance lies? And I'm thinking, what the hell are you talking about? Where's the allegiance of the illegals that are coming across the border and all the stuff that's going on there? What is she talking about? By trying to make one point, she almost makes it a point that goes totally against her point to begin with. So I don't know. But that guy, he's come here, he's made a bunch of money, and he's smart. And that's why Trump has him, because he's smart and he's a businessman. Trump's a businessman. This country should be run like a business. And, you know, they're just angry because of what they're finding.
Yeah. Yep. They're angry because they're exposing their slush fund by the billions. By the billions. Back into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. John in Bozeman, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for having me, Aaron. Just a quick question. Maybe you and George can expound on this. Mark Levin said something last week that really struck a chord with me, and it doesn't seem like anybody talks about it, but how come these federal district judges are able to dictate policy to the rest of the country and override President Trump? Like, anything he's trying to do we're subject to San Francisco or San Diego or New York I think there's something fundamentally wrong about that. And
yeah, it's like turning into an entire circus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I almost turned off all of the notifications on my phone yesterday afternoon because I'm so sick of hearing what some judge has to say. Well, judge says this, judge says that, judge says this, judge says that. And we see the same thing here in Montana with these left-wing judges and the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. They're the most hyper-partisan people out there. Are the leftists on our Montana Supreme Court right now? Yeah, George, I was talking off air earlier with Ilya Shapiro, who is with the Manhattan Institute, and he's going to be on Fox News Sunday this Sunday talking about this very topic that, John just brought up, which is about, you know, these judges, you know, ruling against what DOGE is trying to do. No, Mr. President, you will give all that money to all those other countries. It's, and then now, thankfully, I think the Supreme Court finally weighed in one of these circumstances to say, no, you can't force the President of the United States to still ship all this money out there. I mean, it's just, it is. These left-wing judges are turning it into a circus. They want to erode and undermine yet another American institution.
Well, they're activist judges, obviously, and it's not about the rule of law. It's about their rule of the court and us. It's like they have become politicians as well. So I said it a few months ago that these judges used to be, if someone is a judge, it commanded respect. You respected that person because of what they did.
You think they're giving people a fair shot.
They were the law, right? They were there for you to make sure that you got a fair shot.
They're going to listen to all sides and then follow the law.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
If heaven forbid, you're being sued by an environmental group or something like that, and they get an environmentally friendly judge, you're going to lose regardless of what the law is, because the judge is just going to, I like that, I'm ruined for them. So it just doesn't command the respect that judge used to.
I was trying to find, I think the dailycaller.com had this story, and I'm sure the story is probably sitting in front of me, and like a typical dad and like a typical husband, I can't find the ketchup bottle that's sitting right in front of me. But the Daily Caller, I know, had a story with Jonathan Turley, the constitutional lawyer, Jonathan Turley, and he was talking about these judges and what they're doing. And of course, Mark Levin is a great source of expertise on this topic as well. But here's part of what Jonathan Turley had to say about these judges basically pushing their political agenda.
A more equalized standard of discrimination. Jonathan, we have to get you on this breaking news. Happened right before the show. Federal judge in Northern District of California, shocking, William Alsup, Clinton nominee, blocked the Trump administration from ordering the firing of probationary workers, writing that the OPM, Office of Personnel Management, doesn't have any authority whatsoever under any statute in the history of the universe to hire and fire employees at another agency. They can hire and fire their own employees. Jonathan, I can't wait to hear this.
I think it's quite a reach for this judge, because the office was not firing these workers. It was directing agencies to look at these workers and fire them according to guidelines. They are part of a unitary department, an executive branch that is headed by a president who has said that he wants this to happen. And so I think that the court may be slicing this a little too thin, because the Trump administration is saying that order was for agencies themselves to make these decisions, review these positions. And they also said, it is clear, we want to downsize the federal government.
So basically what these left-wing judges are doing is the same thing the liberal Montana Supreme Court has been doing, which is like, well, we don't like it, and we're partisan Democrats, so we're just going to rule against it. And unfortunately, that's what they've done with bill after bill that's come out of the Montana legislature.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't make any sense, but they don't even try and hide it anymore. It's really out there, and you can see it unless you turn a blind eye to it. But, you know, Aaron, on the same token, I was looking at the Billings Gazette on social media, and there was a not my President's Day protest here in Billings, you know.
But wasn't that one funny?
Yeah, and there was a comment on there, some smug liberal said basically something about Trump firing all these government employees and how horrible it was. Well, you know, how dumb are you? Some of these people haven't been to work in 4 years. Could you just stay home for 4 years and collect a check? That's what I'd like to ask that guy, you know. Could you stay home and collect a check for 4 years? And if you couldn't, if your partner next to you, the person at the desk next to you, stayed home for 4 years, would you be okay with that? I mean, really. So it's not about cleaning house and doing what's right, getting rid of people that are drawing a check for doing nothing. To them, it's just you can't fire people.
And that's why they don't know how silly they look. And that's why President Trump's approval rating and the polling that's showing that the American people back what he's doing right now is because these people just look silly. That's why James Carville and Harold Ford Jr., the former Democrat congressman on The Five, is like, guys.
Carville tells him to shut up.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
What did he say? It's the possum approach. Just stay there and do nothing. Something like that.
Right. Because the more they talk, the less likely they are to do well in the next election. But they don't get it. You know, it's the left has lost their minds. Eric Swalwell comes out and says, you know, more planes have crashed under President Trump in his first 4 weeks in office than any other president. And they actually came out and said, that's not true. There were more that crashed under Biden's.
Half as many aviation incidents in the first month of Trump's versus the first month of Biden.
Right. Yeah. So then Swalwell, like the idiot he is, tries to back that up. And he goes, well, I was talking commercial jets. And they're like, but you said planes, right? No, I was talking commercial jets. That's a guy right there that he should keep his mouth shut more. I mean,
oh, yeah.
he was dating and sleeping with a Chinese spy and all the stuff that he's done. And he still gets out there and talks.
He still is one of the most arrogant, self-righteous people out there, despite being exposed for the phony he is. Lee in Kalispell next on the phone lines. Lee, what's going on?
Yeah, so this deals with the rhetoric I've heard the last 8 years where, you know, they're all against Trump and they're saying the same things now that they did then. But also about when Trump was shot, they also were saying, it's like some of the rhetoric in the news media and in the Democrats have been saying, is too bad he missed.
Oh, yeah. I remember I had... I did these events all across Montana. Lee, thanks for the call. George, I don't know if, I think you were still around. I was doing these events all across Montana, and we were out in Hardin. And we were just set up out on the street and giving away gift cards to a local cafe. And what's funny is she was a nice lady. She had worked as a school teacher, and she was a nice lady. We had a nice conversation with her, but she came up and she says, I'm one of those people who wish the shooter didn't miss. And I'm just like, but it's just funny because it's like, okay, you're obviously a nice enough person to have a conversation with, but yet this is a perfectly normal conversation for you to have right now, is I wish that guy, you know, like that's how crazy cult-like the left truly is. That's how crazy cult-like they are. But the same people who told you to shut up and get the jab and shut up and wear a mask call you cult members. Apparently, Joe Rogan talked about a mysterious Montana landmark on his Joe Rogan podcast. Where is it? What is it? The answer, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, let's start there, George, before we get to our next caller here. Yeah, you got a couple more callers on the line we'll get to here real soon. So you and I were talking during the break, and George is like, I don't even know who this woman is, and apparently she's been a member of Congress since 1983. But before we get to that story, yeah, I was 3 years old, and as George can tell, I'm very old now. I was 3 years old when this lady apparently first got in Congress, and George is like, who is this lady? What has she ever done? We'll get to that story in a second, but that reminded me. So one of the local TV stations on their Facebook page, they had a story about how now, if illegal aliens are in this country illegally and they're trying to fly around the country, go to the airport, get on a flight, travel from L.A. to New York or New York to Kalispell, they're not being allowed on the flights if they don't have a valid identification card. So basically, if they're here illegally and they don't have a valid ID, you don't get to get on the flight. Again, something else we all just would have assumed would never have happened in the first place, but Joe Biden was allowing this to happen because he wanted illegals to show up all over the country. So anyway, a woman, and I'm sure she was a nice lady. I'm sure it was an honest question on her part. One of the commenters, she says, well, how is this going to affect college students or people who are here for work programs? And I just responded. I said, they are here legally. with all caps legally. And some people, they still just don't get it. We're not talking about all immigrants here or people that are here in this country from, this is people who are here illegally.
Exactly.
Because of all the propaganda out there, these people still think that we're talking about legal immigration.
Yeah, and it's crazy because those people, they mention students, people that are here on work, all that, they have IDs.
Yeah.
They have IDs, right? So it is. But people lose sight because the massive amount of, here's last year's term, disinformation that is out there, it's hard to weed through. I mean, you got to really use common sense. If you do that, you can weed out most of it. It's hysteria that keeps getting thrown out there by these left-wing politicians, Democrats, and these groups. It's in
the media as well. Yeah,
it's difficult.
Before I get to Randy in Livingston, so tell us this story. This is Representative Marcy Kaptur out of Ohio. I've heard the name before. I'm familiar with the name, but I couldn't tell you anything she's actually done in Congress. But.
Well, I can't either. She's from Ohio. She said, Mr. Musk has just been here 22 years. He's only been here 22 years. He's a citizen of three countries. I always ask myself the question, with the damage he's doing here, when push comes to shove, which country is his loyalty to, South Africa, Canada, or the United States? And again, I'll say it again, he's only been here 22 years. And I'm like, I think you're making the opposite point that you're trying to make, really. I mean, 22 years, the guy's got, he's rich.
Look at everything he's done for this country.
He's got Starlink. He's provided internet to people in Montana that couldn't get internet before.
He's going to rescue the astronauts that got left in space by Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Like, if that's the only thing he does in life, I think we could say, wow, thank you for what you've done for your country.
Amazing. Amazing.
But you made the point during the break when we were talking about this off air, that did this woman ever say anything about the murderers and the rapists that had been in this country illegally?
Right.
Oh, but she wants to question his loyalty to this country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took an oath to be a citizen, not the one, the drug dealer and the murderer and the rapist that came across the border illegally for the 11th time or whatever it is. They haven't taken an oath to this country. They haven't committed to being a citizen, but he has.
That's why the legal immigrants are more pissed off than you and me when they see all this illegal immigration.
Have you talked to anybody that's actually gone through that process?
Yeah.
How proud they are. And every one of them says, when they handed me that little flag, it was the most moving experience of my life.
Pat, I think Pat is either in Laurel or Billings, but we got a couple of phone calls from Pat. He sent me a nice letter. Pat is shorthand for, I can't even pronounce his actual real name, but, you know, Pat, it's like 58 syllables. It's a really cool name, but I couldn't pronounce it. But like, yeah, he called and was so fired up about the illegal immigrants because he's taken that oath. He's given that oath, and he's been through that ceremony, and he knows what it means and how important it is and what it really means to be an American and to see these other people come in here and not give one dang about this country and scoff at us and kill our people and rape, you know, kids.
We can't even get our own citizens, the liberals, to do the Pledge of Allegiance, to recite that. You know, that's just a pledge to your country and a reminder. And they want that taken out of everything. They don't want it anywhere. But yet this guy that you just mentioned, a legal immigrant who went through the process, is more proud of this country, his new country, than some of the people that were born here.
That's why, you know, I've joked with John Jackson, let's do the one-in, one-out policy, you know. I'll give you a woke white liberal from Missoula that hates America, and we'll take a patriotic, America-loving, faith-filled entrepreneur from any of these Central or South American countries or anywhere else in the world that actually wants to be here because they love America. And then the woke white liberals that hate our flag and hate our country so much and tell us how awful and racist it is, get the heck out.
Right.
One for one swap.
Well, you know, Aaron, since I've been in Texas, I've talked to business owners. I've been at restaurants, talked to the people that own them, and they talk about coming here. Well, obviously, they came here, became citizens, started a business, and now they're contributing to the community, to the state, and to the nation. And these people will say the same thing.
That's right.
They're so proud of what they've done, and they should be.
Yeah.
They started businesses, and they're productive, and welcome to those people. I think that's great.
That reminds me, that's going to be my Sunday night website story to kick off next week, and why it's not racist to deport illegal aliens. Let's go to Randy in Livingston. Randy, thanks for the call. Sorry for the wait. We've been having a fun chat here, but what's on your mind?
Hi, fellas. I really appreciate very much the update when I come out in the morning and try and get my brain to start working.
Mine never seems to really fully work, so I'm glad we got people like you to keep us on track.
Well, thank God for coffee is all I can say.
Amen to that one.
Yeah. Listen, I need you to educate me a little bit this morning so I can better understand what's going on. But property taxes, right? I hear a lot of stuff going on up in the government regarding bills to change the system. My question is, as a rule, Texas was always a brutal place to buy property, and because you were going to get taxed through the happiness, and you just had no idea how much it would cost, right? You always heard saw these articles and such. I want to know if Montanans had a sales tax system here, would that make a difference in what they're doing with property taxes? Would it alleviate the need for that funding in this area? I just wanted to figure out what would happen. And is there a history of Montanans flipping out over the thought of having a property tax? I have no idea.
Or a sales tax, you mean? Yeah, no, there's definitely...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, there's definitely a history. In fact, actually, great question. That reminds me, I've got an email here from Matt in Butte. And this email from Matt in Butte, he's another fellow great veteran. I've gotten to meet in Butte a few times. But, he sent me an email earlier this week. He says, I marvel at the sales tax zealots. They won't quit. They're like the old temperance union. Oh, we'll have a sales tax to reduce your property tax. We'll all probably end up paying more total taxes. Tourists will pay. They're here for a week or two, likely less. We're here 52 weeks a year. Montana voters have repeatedly rejected sales taxes by wider and wider margins. Take a hint, Matt in Butte says. I have an idea for a new law. Any legislator who promotes a sales tax is automatically removed from office and given a ticket to California. So luckily, Matt in Butte already had a response to that question. But it's a great question because... Yeah, we have got to fundamentally overhaul our property tax system here. It's a train wreck.
Ooh, Bellamia. So there, let me tell you, down there, the property taxes, the water taxes, the mud tax, this tax, that tax, this. If you own a house, you might not be able to keep it just because of your annual taxes. It's insane what they do.
Down in Texas?
In Texas.
Yeah.
So, well, let me bring this up. Okay, coming from Kansas... They have sales tax there, and they have property tax. So my first assertion would be the property tax is never going to go away. They might lower it a little bit to start with in the beginning, but it's going to come back up after they institute the sales tax. But think of it this way. I took my daughters to Kansas one time. I handed them some money. They bought something at a convenience store for 99 cents. And they go up there, and they hand the guy a dollar, and he says, I need 9 more cents. And they're, it's 99 cents. And he goes, well, there's a 10% tax. So it's a $1.09. They looked at me like, this guy's trying to take my money.
It's a good lesson for life right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the government's going to be trying to take your money for the rest of your life, ladies. You learned an important lesson today, didn't you? Crayon Eater, this must be one of your Marine Corps buddies, sent us a message. Texas, Texas, Texas. Is that Private Cowboy in the studio?
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Trump is ordering a 30-day freeze on government credit card spending, which is great. This comes a week after Doge discovered nearly $40 billion in spending last year linked to issued plastic to employees. The Biden Treasury Department admitted they sent at least $31 million in Social Security checks to dead people. 31 million. Oh, no need for Doge. The Trump State Department has identified $60 billion in grants that could be eliminated. Thank goodness John Roberts stopped this court order on foreign payments. by a lower Biden-appointed judge. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it's all the same crap.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now. Claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
It's February 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's National Pokemon Day, marking the anniversary of the Japanese release of the game on this day in 1996. Also on this day in 2020, the Dow Jones Index suffers its biggest points fall in history, closing down 1,190.95 in New York over concerns about COVID-19. 1 year later in 2021, the U.S. gives the green light to the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the third such shot to protect against the coronavirus. Also on this day in 2013, Pope Benedict presents his farewell address to Vatican City. A train crashes into a buffer at Cairo's main railway station in 2019, killing 25, injuring dozens in Egypt. Born on this day in England in 1932, legendary star of the silver screen, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see if Joe, and hopefully Joe and Kalispell still on the phone lines. Apologize for the wait there, Joe. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am. I just make it real quick. I don't know if anybody is familiar with the Gateway Pundit.
Which
is online. But there is a very interesting documentary that has just been released, and it's called Unpacking the Lies That We Have Been Fed. And they've got a site, and it's unpackinglies.com. It starts in the 50s. It's unbelievable, and it takes us right up to today when they're trying to confirm Kennedy, et cetera, et cetera. But how they, one of the deals is how they have entered, you know, dealt with food, how they got women to start smoking in the 50s, et cetera, et cetera. And you'll see where the money goes. And one of the prime examples, and they got a lot of people on there that know what they're talking about, is like the Food and Drug Administration. And they get a ton of money to the Food and Drug Administration. Association or whatever it is.
Administration, yeah.
But people don't know that they themselves have created over 15 other agencies, and they're bizarre. And all it is a money laundering deal. And one of the highlights of the whole thing is when they're trying to confirm Kennedy, and they've got all of these people that are, you know, in Congress that are asking him questions, this, 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 and this. And when they bring them up, Bernie Sanders, et cetera, then they pop up and they tell how many millions of dollars they're receiving from Big Pharmacy.
It would almost be better if they just took your money and flushed it down the toilet instead of used your money against you, used your money to fund all these left-wing activist groups that are undermining our economy and attacking agriculture, attacking natural resource sectors, right? I mean, it'd just be better if they flushed it down the toilet. Well, now you're thinking, hey, Aaron, I've got to remodel my bathroom. Well, I can save you money. Don't just throw your money down the toilet. I can save you money on a bathroom remodel right now. Let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. You can transform your space up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Plus, with financing you can handle, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. It's a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. George, we got about a minute or so to go here. You wanted to say one more thing about sales taxes.
Yeah, so they're never going to lower your property tax no matter what they tell you, and it's never going to go away. They'll lower it, but then it'll come back up. But here's what you need to remember. As soon as you have this opportunity to have a sales tax, your city is going to put a sales tax on there, and it might be 1 cent. Well, you think, all right, 99 cents. Now I'm to an even buck on that 99 cent thing. The county's going to put a penny on there. The state's going to put a penny on there. And right off the bat, now you got 3 cents per everyone. And it's going to go up a quarter of a penny and a half a penny at a time. And the next thing you know, it's going to be 10%. And that 10%, now that 99-cent item, which you can't find anymore, is a buck nine. Well, here's the thing you got to remember. Cars are $100,000 these days, 100 grand. When you go in to buy that car, you're going to pay $10,000 in sales tax. Your bank's not going to finance the sales tax. You're going to have to come up with that out of pocket. So it may not seem like much over here.
That's one of the biggest oppositions, is that even the people that say, well, what if we get rid of this and do this instead? We know that they will never give up their ability to keep taxing you. I do think we are going to get some good property tax relief out of the Montana legislature this session. In fact, a key measure just passed the House. We'll tell you about that and more coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. George is sticking around for an extended Freedom Friday edition.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.